mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny?
Never.
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty!
Why don't I hear the problem?
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient. You're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the leaves.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
What do you want, Mr. Shadow Footage?
This is the people's war.
I don't have anything for you. It's too early.
We are the fighters. Fight it, then.
You're early.
Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
You're too early.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started? Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even possibly take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the... ...ears of the machine, Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming!
Okay, can you hear me, Mona?
I can hear you, Mr. Rowe.
Okay, now you can hear the brakes when they're running now?
I heard it partially in and out.
Okay, I'm gonna unpause it and run it, and then hopefully it'll be normal, and here we go.
Radio!
Did that sound normal to you?
It was.
Okay, I think we got it fixed, so here we go. I'm gonna start your intro
it's
right now.
Runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Aquafuls of gold is.
This is the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fire it up, hold up.
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Make a move and the money gets it.
Same guy here.
All right, go ahead. All yours. Take it away.
Waste not, want not. That's right. Oh, goodies. It's not your feeding time yet. All right, so. Yes, welcome everyone. We're here at FreedomSlips.com, Revolution.Riddle. On the 15th day of March, that's right, 2022. I want to thank everybody for listening and hanging on and hanging out with us. And that we know, don't we? this station is listener supported, so please do us that favor. Help us stay on air by doing the donation, okay? It was just one of those days I had to check my calendar, my ephemeris. Like, was something supposed to be going on? Did the moon just square my Uranus? Or was it messing with my Neptune? I don't know, man. It was just one of them days, I'm telling you. You just never know what's going on. And normally I never have an issue, so it's just like I'm so thankful that we have such good management that hangs around to listen and help us out when at all we might need.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Mr. Rowe, thank you. I still want to see pictures of that bathroom.
Yeah, it's technically not completely finished yet. We still have a few little things, but it's usable, which is what I'm thankful for.
Right.
We got to paint the ceiling and put a one more little light fixture in, and then the towel hanger and that kind of stuff, you know.
Right. So what got you in the mood to do that?
Well, it was an old crappy bathroom originally, and it was like, you know when a bathroom gets so old and used that it's like uncleanable? Like, right. No matter what you do, it's like, well, I cleaned it, but that's it, yeah. So it was time, you know, you just have to rip everything out and redo it. Now you can eat out of there if you wanted to, but I don't eat out of there.
No, you changed it. It's not a contemporary restroom area now, right?
Now it's like a Mexican style or European style wet room where there's no shower pan per se or anything. It's just like the drain goes right into this long linear drain in the floor, and it's all smooth transition. Everything's kind of like marbly tile, and I got all these black fixtures just because I wanted to go that way, and then I had to smuggle my shower. Had to have my shower smuggled in because it's illegal to have a shower head that has, I mean, like the 0.06 flow that I have over the legal limit or whatever.
What?
Yeah, you can only have like a certain like they did it with toilets. It's like per gallon flush. And now they're doing it with shower and sinks. Like if there's too much water that can go through at one time, that's illegal now in California because they say it wastes water. But now when they did that with toilets, and they're like, you can only have 1.28 gallons per flush. Now it's not enough. So people have to flush like 3 or 4 times, and it's just ridiculous. So not me, man. And I don't get my parts from China. I order them from other places and then have them smuggled to me. I shouldn't have put that on air, but.
Well, no, but that's what it's come to, isn't it? You just don't get regular shipping anymore. And UPS and all the FedEx and all that, they're in comeuppance. I hate to think of how much me ordering my herbs from California is going to now cost me with the gas prices going up.
Do you have a new puppy or something?
I have a black cat named Shadow who thinks he owns the world.
Okay.
And so this is his moment for some reason with the time difference and everything else. He thinks it's his food time, and it's not his food time.
It is his time. The time changed. Everything's...
Yeah, but it's spring ahead when he normally would get fed between 3 and 4, usually 4. So, no. He's just bold run. He's just my boy, huh? Pure black, not a speck of white on him. Yep, I inherited him. He's my boy. So he just comes in and bugs me. He's gotten me in trouble because he doesn't know how to shut the door. Because I leave the door ajar. And the woman across the hallway actually came down on my ass a couple times. Because I wasn't in the room when he came in and out of the room. Your door's like it's a sin. Like it's a major crime. I'm like, too many crickets. What is the matter? And then come to find out, I'm not the only one who thinks she's mentally handicapped. I mean, seriously, she was taking pictures and videotaping it. That's how much it bugged her that my bedroom door was open. I'm like, sure, my room's a mess, but, you know, hey, I'm a person that lives in a 10 by 10 room and I need a 20 by 12 or more. So, I'm figuring on getting my garden going soon because it's about that time. But we had a major freeze the other day, so if I would have put anything out, even the stuff that can make it through a light frost got frozen. It was like, oh my gosh. But that's normal every season because you just don't know how they're going to geoengineer any of this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about that. Echo.
Oh. What? You heard yourself? It usually always does that around 3:30 on this studio. It does that. So I don't know. But really, what do you think about this? I can't even think of the name. This Russian situation going on.
Well, I think that Western media, I mean, it's interesting. You know, right now, people are in the mindset where if you literally just say the word Russia in the wrong way or whatever, you are an evil Russian propagandist and blah, 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 blah. And it's interesting how people have just like flicked a switch or had a switch flicked to instantly be programmed to accept the surface level narrative that the mainstream media is regurgitating to everybody. And they're all sitting there like little birds eating the regurgitated crap of propaganda, of whatever it is, and not looking beyond the surface for the truth, where you actually, it's not that hard if people were to do a little bit of digging and go to the sources and find out where the sources of this information is coming from and try to confirm things. They would find out that Western media is at least 180 degrees opposite of a lot of stuff, what's going on. But that being said, you know, there is a narrative that is, it's amazing because it's complicated. How can I put this? You know, you've got what people lose sight of the history of what's going on, and they think that we have this large country invading a small country. And they don't realize that, you know, this is something that goes back to like World War II. Now the dynamics were a little different because in World War II, one of the reasons that the Ukrainians, the ethnic Ukrainians sided with the Nazis is because even before that, there was an affinity to Germany, long before that. It goes way back. But
don't you have to, hold on a second. I am going to interrupt because I don't know the definition of a Nazi.
Okay, let me tell you. The National Social, the Nazis of Nazi Germany, right, under Hitler, they were against the Bolsheviks. That was the Soviet Union at the time, and, of course, that was Russia. Now, times have changed. Now, and neither is – I mean, if you had to pick Bolshevik versus Nazi, it's not a very appetizing choice either way. So you've got the communists coming in and trying to, you know, and this is World War II. So the Ukrainian side with the Nazis, the National Socialists of Germany. The war goes on and da-da-da. There's also folks like Stefan Bandera, who was a Nazi sympathizer for the National Socialist Party. World War II ended. And at the end, the Nazis from Nazi Germany went into the Nuremberg trials. Some of them were scooped up by the CIA, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of people don't realize that the Ukraine also had camps. Now, you can argue over semantics about whether they were death camps, work camps, or torture camps, and how many died or whatever. But a lot of Russians were sent to these camps in Ukraine. And afterwards, you have the split up, of course, you know, and so the Russians came in and the Americans came in. And what the American CIA did was they took a lot of the Nazis from Ukraine and put them under CIA program and CIA protection. And to this day, they've been aligned with the West. Now, you know, what people with the propaganda mentality fail to realize is the West is not the good guys and the Russians not the bad guys. And it's not the other way around either.
Right.
Nobody's a saint and nobody is the hero. Okay, the only people that are suffering from this bullshit political crap are the innocent people on both sides. Excuse me. Right. That being said, we have NATO making deals with, and people don't – what's the Azov Battalion? What are the Adairs? What do they do? What are the Nationalist Party of the Ukrainian Nationalist Party? What is that? And what have they been doing to, you know, half of their own country? People are like fixated on imaginary political lines, borders that were drawn by politicians behind closed doors. They don't realize that there's ethnic boundaries, just like Chechnya, just like Kosovo, just like Croatia. That's why Czechoslovakia is no longer Czechoslovakia. That's why Yugoslavia is no longer Yugoslavia, because there are ethnic boundaries.
Germany did it to itself too, building that wall.
Well, now Germany was at the time a united sort of people ethnically. The problem that we have now is we have some people saying that the borders of Ukraine are the borders of Ukraine. And like this line should be here, not realizing that that line is like way over on the other side of an ethnic Russian population. You know, it's kind of like if we drew, this kind of happened, and there's an argument that goes on with what's called Reconquista, where the Mexican boundary is arguably too, you know, it's not in the right place. Like Mexico should be further north. California, according to some people, should be part of Mexico. Now, whether that's true or not today, because dynamics change and, you know, there's a different situation, you know, okay, that's a whole other argument. But over there in these places, that was one of the reasons Chechnya, and they made a deal with Russia. Chechnya is basically for Chechens, okay, and they have their own little fiefdom. They have their own little kingdom in there, and Russia basically leaves them alone and lets Ramzan rule it the way he wants to. And they've actually built it back up, and that's an entire other show, too. By the way, the Chechens are actually hunting the Banderas and the Azov Battalion and these Nazis that actually fire on their own, quote-unquote, Ukrainian citizens of ethnic Russian background. The leader of Western Ukraine, I forget which one it was, but there's video of him, he went on in front of Parliament, on video, in front of everybody, and said, our people or our children will learn in school, and their children, meaning the Russians that live inside the Ukrainian boundaries, will huddle in basements. They use cluster ammunition. By the way, that missile, that Takia U that fell Donetsk yesterday or the day before, they have all the names of the people that were involved in that. They raided a place, and they've got information from a hacker, and they've got the information. It's been posted up there. The freedom fighters, quote unquote, that went over there to fight on the side of the Nazis, I'm not saying all Ukrainians are Nazis, but these battalions have embedded themselves, and they've even embedded themselves in government. They've gone into Parliament, held everybody hostage, and said, nobody's leaving this building until you vote for this way.
They supplied most of the military weapons.
And so, and we think us, the United States, you know, I are the good guys in this. Like, no. Knowing our history, but we're going to liberate Ukraine. We're going to free them from the evil Russians. These people they have no freaking business of what they're talking about.
Well, those that have drunk the Kool-Aid, I agree. But I remember the stuff about the Bidens being over there and other political people
absolutely
making money off of this country, because it's just like,
It's okay for Biden and Burisma to have deals like with the Hunter Biden, the crackhead. It's okay for him to go and get 80,000 or whatever it was, 1,000 a month to be like the head of some energy company, but we don't want to look at that. That's fine. That's all above board, right? It's okay to have bio research labs. They're not bio weapons labs. We're just researching the most dangerous pathogens on the face of the frickin' earth.
Did you see the map? Did I post it in chat?
Yes.
Because that, like, was, oh my gosh, worse than Wuhan.
But it's okay, because NATO and America is involved, and we could do no bad. And everything else is just Russian propaganda. Yeah.
Like NATO is a decent kind of Cinderella syndrome shit.
You know, I see things that are posted, like evidence that's posted on whatever it is, and let's say on Twitter, and some idiot will come back and with either a joke or something that makes no sense, like, well, you know, what kind of Nazis? The Russians invaded. You know, and that's the level of intellectual, you know, these people aren't even worth a response. It's just the ignorance of the population is off the hook. Most of the people out there, not the listeners that are listening, because they kind of know where to go beyond the mainstream if you're listening to me or you on here on the Revolution Radio and the Alternative News. But most of the people out there are just preoccupied and in a state of idiocy. Not to say that they are by default idiots. They have just been put into a state of idiocy. Like, I'm just going to walk around and be stupid. You're
like
not stupid. You choose to be stupid.
Just like the COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously. I don't watch TV, but the TV's on when I'm out at the table doing some solitaire, because I just have to do nothing in my mind, but nothing, which is usually playing solitaire, not on a computer, etc. And all I could hear is that, well, this guy who didn't wear his mask, and this other guy, and all this other, like, what? And of course, the jab means so much. And are they watching and seeing how many athletes have died on the field, and that now children have to have an EKG before they can play soccer in junior high school? Yeah, now, WTF.
They are now in Russia. They are taking off all of the, like they had on their subways and in their airports, just like us, little stickers everywhere saying 6 feet, mask, you know, the World Health Organization, the COVID crap. They are removing all of that. No more masks, no more 6 feet. It's like they, COVID is done. Russia is no longer playing COVID, which is good.
Right.
I think it's a sign they know that it's a World Health Organization, New World Order control mechanism that's bullcrap, and they're not having any more of that. You know, so.
Well, they even brought that up, which kind of concerned me when, yeah, it was WHO, and I'm like going, oh my gosh, they're literally trying to shove this into people's subconscious that they are on our side and that they're supposed to help take care of us.
Oh, and they're also the end-all authority on any information. It's like, well, I get my information from the CDC and the World Health Organization, so nah.
Why did Procter & Gamble just pop up into my mind? I mean, this is all just so wrong, and it's not just the CDC. What was the other group that's supposed to be helping us, which isn't? They're actually privately owned and not pub, you know.
NIH?
No. It's not just the CDC. There's another one.
Well, I know there's
who says that it's okay or not to make these things, tell people they're safe and effective when they're not? The FDA?
Oh. Did you hear Russian state TV is calling for reparations from the United States over sanctions? They are demanding the return, get this, of Alaska and California's Fort Ross, and said they threatened nuclear strikes. I don't know how credible this information is. Threatening nuclear strikes on the United States and call for public hangings in Ukraine. Now, this comes out of the Daily Mail. So take that with what you will. But they're saying Moscow-backed pundits have begun normalizing the idea of publicly hanging Ukrainians who are fighting against Russians' war. Okay, blah, blah, blah. You know, I could see public hanging the Nazis.
Oh, we got a break here, Ro. Come back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
There was blood on the wire.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
The pill has been taken. The blinders are off. Are we in the end game? Or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened with no choices? Different people have different points of view. When it comes to creation versus evolution, my point of view, we were created to evolve. The Red Pill, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B. www.freedomslips.com at revolution.radio.
check it out.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
A little honey on the Lone Highway left me for another on the Lone Highway. They killed Dirty Don McGee on the Lone Highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
You know, the bombings and all that stuff. When are these people going to realize we all bleed effing red? So why do we have to have the complications and the conflicts? It always brings to my mind Palestinians and Israel's. Now, because of religion, we're going to think Israel is the true sanction of all life and that they can do no wrong. Na, 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 na. And who supplies their military, what was it, phosphorus bombs on innocent children and all the, who remembers all that? You know, see, people don't, they drank the Kool-Aid. The fluoride's been in the water so dang long.
You know, back in 2007, I went to Grozny. I have distant relatives in Chechnya. There, I said it. And,
why
so
not?
When I went there,
they make great pastry. Do they have good food?
They do have, actually, yes, they do. They have excellent food.
I mean,
when I got there, it was just after Ramzan had taken over, as the head, and they were in the process of basically rebuilding a lot of stuff. They already had a lot of it rebuilt, but they were continually, you know, modernizing, and now today you wouldn't even know there was, I mean, except for a few little areas, you wouldn't even know that there was anything wrong there. There's virtually no crime. They are a proud, they're like, I guess the closest thing is Klingons. they're very proud of their heritage and their way of life. And they don't like outsiders coming in and telling them what to do. And that's basically the simplistic long and short of it. As long as they're left alone. And, you know, the interesting thing that I noticed when I was there is a lot of people, when you go, they're always smiling. If you'd also notice, like, the soldiers, when they're even in battle, they are always smiling. They're always in a good mood. Now, they have a completely different mindset than we do. They are hardcore Muslim, which is a little bit of a strange dynamic. But in my opinion, they make it work there. You know, there's a lot of bad blood that goes way back between Chechnya and Russia and some of the neighboring places. There's even between Chechens themselves, because you have the Iskarian breakaway. Iskarians, they don't believe that Chechnya should be part of Russia. that it should be its own sovereign. But it basically is an autonomous region. And they are now, you know, part of Russia. They consider themselves brothers of Russia. In fact, there's lots of different ethnic groups. There's Laks, there's Chechens, there's Russians, there's Slavics, there's all these different groups. Some are Asian, some are India, some are, they're just, there's as much of a diversity in Russia.
And Russia like free America, because isn't that what we stand for, supposedly?
Exactly. And in fact, there's a few videos where they're all on there and they're saying, look, I'm a Lak, he's a Chechen, this is the da-da-da-da-da. And the important thing is, we're all together. Everything else is nonsense and BS. You know, that
there's so many Russians in this country, people don't realize. I've met a couple, I'd say, groups of families. You know?
Well, they've taken multiculturalism and they made it work in some instances. It's not perfect. There are still lots of little skirmishes going on here and there, but for the most part, they don't have, you know, the dynamics are a little different. You know, they have racism. They have some supremacy in that, and, you know, neo-Nazi kind of things, just like anywhere else. Humans are humans, and there's going to be ignorant people. But
because we've given our belief system away to societals, misguidance, like religion and politics and medical. I mean, they've given it all away. How many are really living by the land, like the Amish, I can say, for here? And some of them are the Mennonites. They use machines. But you know what I mean. Literally living with the planet. Because that's what would make us all get along, if we were out picking shrooms and, you know, milking cows and making cheese and butter, you know, for each other, not just ourselves. I want some of that so bad. I keep looking into the homesteading stuff because, to me, that's what you're saying how the Chechens are. They live by their own means of what they were taught, and they're happy with it, so they're smiling. Why can't we all have some of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's because I think we bought into the Kool-Aid of the outside stimulation. Like, we need something, you know.
It's been the TV programs.
And
all these insurance companies and, Disney.
An imitation stimulation of occupation for our brains to, you know, I mean, we can't go out and we have to go to the store to buy something. We can't create our own. We've gone away from that.
That's true, because there are some things, like, I look at that. I can't make material. So I would have to go somewhere to find material if I was going to be sewing something.
Now, we should be able to have material. We should be able to have, you know, access to whatever. I'm seeing more and more limitations and more consolidation. Like, you don't have a choice of where you get certain types of foods or meat. Everything is processed in the same spot. Everything's made out of plastic. I noticed that to a point when I went to Holland. I noticed that it was worse because I got to Holland and I go to, like, a store and, like, I'm like, everything's the same here. Every house is going to use this product from this company. And I thought to myself, gee, it must be really nice to be a company here in Holland, because, like, if you manufacture the one thing that everybody's doing and nobody else is making it, they're all buying this doohickey from you. You cornered the market. And that's how these Dutch companies do it in Holland. I mean, they can do it because there's only 12 million or so people there, and they kind of keep their own thing to themselves. But it's okay for them to do it. How come it's not okay for others to do it? How come it's not okay for other folks to do their own thing and be completely self-sufficient, which is one thing that Trump was trying to do here for America, and that's what Russia has been doing as far as energy and finances and food, all of these things, and military protection. They're self-sufficient. They're like, go ahead, turn us off. Do it. We dare you. You know?
I know, right?
If we got turned off, if everybody said we're not going to deal with America, which could happen sooner than you think, we'd be in real trouble. I mean, we could get by. It'd take a little while, though, to start the things up because we don't have the infrastructure built to take all that oil out of, like, these fields. And we're like, well, we've got the biggest oil fields. Yeah. Uh-huh. You got the machines to take it out yet? No.
You could be making hemp oil, and you could get 4 flipping harvests a year.
That's evil. Bad.
Oh, then I'm just such a sinner. Don't tell anybody.
Spreading propaganda.
But that's it. I mean, I've looked at the Smithsonian for years and saying, what kind of secrets are you hiding from the rest of us? But they are the philanthropy. They are the ones who know and have it all. But they won't allow anybody else. What would it take for people to recognize that? The only products I use is peroxide, baking soda, and vinegar, both white and red, to do any kind of cleaning, except for my sandalwood soap. But I don't buy processed chemicals, because I use baking soda and Mule Team for my laundry. You know, that's it. What's the problem with keeping it safe and simple and not derogatory to me and the environment? I've been trying to teach that for decades. Nobody's given a flying leap. That's sad and scary. And I know there's a lot of people out there because I got to go on a field trip last week. It was so nice because I'm really into homesteading. I mean, I'm like going, you know, I have a master gardener thing, but that was in Florida and that was how many decades ago. So let me see what it's really like that these young people, they're like my daughter's age, are doing to keep themselves self-sufficient. But they're still using power from electric companies. They're still using gasoline and diesel for their tractors and all the rest of that. You know, what's the next step if all that just broke down? They aren't ready for it either. And they are literally living off the land. So, yeah, you talk about time to come back. Oh, my gosh. I keep telling people, especially here in the mountains, you might want to get a horse and a cart. I'm serious.
But then you got to feed the horse.
But that's a grass-fed situation. I have 3 acres here and maybe 2 of them grass.
You just let the horse go out there and eat the grass?
Right.
Okay.
Well. And right up the road, if I had my cart and horse, I could go get hay because there's a farmer right up the road that grows hay. So, I mean,
if you had an old tractor that run on ethanol, you could grow your own gas.
And you know what ethanol is? Decomposition and greenery and stuff like that. That's all it is.
Literally grow your own gas.
Right. And that's how moonshine got created.
Yep. But see, they didn't like that. They didn't like that. They wanted to corner the market with that gasoline, so. And Rockefeller said, we can't have that. So let's do a prohibition thing and make alcohol illegal, and then nobody can get alcohol for gas. They have to come and buy my gas.
But you know how much petroleum is in everything?
Now petroleum is in everything, yeah. Absolutely. Everything is made out of plastic, too. If we could just get rid of plastic. I guess you could make hemp plastic.
You've gone too far. Yes, you can, but they knew that, Mr. Rowe. They knew that.
We could make such a better world. We really could.
We had a better world.
It's so ridiculous in the directions that we're going, and people are just just getting on the train of destruction and going, yeah.
Why did X-Files just jump into my mind? I mean, seriously, if you haven't seen the last X-Files, they came right out and said it all. And I'm just like, oh, it's all been corporation. See, they put an evil structure on money. When money doesn't have to be evil, it can be good. I love making money. I want money back in my pockets, okay? I mean,
I think the U.S. dollar is about to die because, you know, they've decided to do their sanctions and everybody's going to still buy from Russia, but they're going to convert their dollars into either China money or Russia money, maybe rubles.
Rubles. I mean,
That means that the U.S. dollar reserve isn't going to be a reserve anymore. And so.
Like, we haven't earned it. like we haven't effing earned.
It's bad management. We had a really good thing. Our form of government is not perfect, but it is sound in the context of the of everything else that's on this planet. I would challenge somebody to find a better form of government that's on paper, you know, like ours is on paper. Ours is not being practiced the way it is on paper. We know that. There's all this extra paper that's been added onto it, which perverts it even more. But the original, you could take either the Articles of Confederation or the Constitution. And I actually agree more with the Articles of Confederation because those are states' rights. Those are the rights of the individual state. That's how it was originally intended. And then federalism came along and said, no, we need to have a federal government that trumps everything else, that handles things between the states. You can have kind of a quasi, but see, we've turned everything upside down. Originally, the sheriff is the law of the land, the highest elected official there is, and that's local to your county. And they are, each one is its own little territory, and each state is its sovereign nation. But we flipped all that upside down, taught the wrong things in school, and now everybody's got a perverted view of what our governmental structure is. And so nobody's really clear on it, and you got a bunch of lawyers and people speaking in weird Latin languages because they've made a language of spells out of the English language.
Right.
And so they've converted and perverted everything. So, yeah, we're in a really lost state. And I also believe that we're living in a thousand-year deception of the reign of the devil right now. We're in it. It isn't like, oh, the rapture's going to come and, you know, Jesus is coming back and then we're going to – no. That already happened. We're in the thousand years reign of deception when evil is let loose on the earth. Can't you tell?
Well, hello? What's that? Okay, well, I think about your Tartarian stuff. Now, was that 1,000 years ago? That would be great. But then still the history of what they told us over is supposed to have this 2600 time frame for Wormwood or Planet X or whatever the hell it is.
It could be even more complex than we think. Now, what is Tartaria? Oh,
sure.
Could it be Tartarus, a kingdom of hell? Could Tartaria have been a reign of something that we're not sure of? I don't know. Was it good or bad? But I do believe whatever it was, we're in a time of deception. And we're in when, you know, and because we have been deceived. We are spiritually inebriated, all of us. You know, we have a ruling structure that is trying to harm us. If you just put it down simply, they do is harmful to us. They say they're benefiting us. Everybody comes out and says everything's for the good of this and good of that. But somehow, every single time, it gets twisted and turned around and ends up harming us. And we are too daft to see this. If I come up to you and say, come on, let me give you a big hug, Mona, and I come up to you right before I hug you, I slap you in the face and hurt you. Next time when I do that, are you just going to go for it again so I can slap you over and over?
Do you think you'd get away with it that time?
Well, that's what they're doing to us. They're like, let us take care of you. We're going to make sure you're up. Oh, let us take care of you. We're going to make sure you're boom. And then somehow it doesn't benefit us as humanity.
Well,
It's like there's a contempt for humanity. We're all treated like children by the politicians. And then the actions that they do, you judge a tree by its fruit, they're contemptuous. That's like, I mean, not just, oh, we messed up, but like we are purposely trying to make sure that you are just screwed over. And we do it with a
smile. They're even putting it out there now, Mr. Rowe, and nobody's seeing it because the main media, mass main media, isn't given the full criteria of the reality behind what they're saying. And so it sounds all real good, but just like you said, no, it's encompassing you. It's taking away your free will of rights of true freedom. And that is wrong because they have cars that could go over 40 miles per gallon. And I'm not talking the water ones. I'm talking, you know, but if they go true electric, you got to have power. What's going to fuel the power companies that are effing powering these effing cars? Excuse me, I do not like electric cars.
You put a meme in the host chat, and it showed, like, you know, the guys that get the oil for my gas-powered car, and it showed these, you know, roughnecks at the oil rig, you know, these men. And then it said the people that are getting the raw materials for my electric car, and it was like a bunch of kids in Africa, you know, which is true, because the rare earth materials, you know, they're mined out of those places in Africa by child labor. And, you know, we don't use child labor here anymore. So,
the oil.
Although maybe we should go back.
But that we witness, come on, Ro, you know that's all over this planet. There is not just one place that has, it is going to happen here. No, it's happening everywhere. You know, I lived in St. Pete, Florida, so Disney was just Orlando away, okay? Now, for some reason, I remember back when I was in junior high, and I'm 63 years old, that we voted and we promoted for this train, like monorail, to be able to go from Orlando to Clearwater, Tampa, St. Pete area.
It's a monorail.
Do you know how much fun? That thing probably could have gotten built 15 times. Is it? No. Where'd that money go to? And Disney, it's the most perverted corporation on this planet.
Yeah.
And they're probably one of the biggest children traffickers, especially in Florida, because we had a lot of migrants that would bring sometimes their families. And would they have any real restitution or that? No, because they were just slaves during the harvest or whatever.
But I mean, everybody is leaving Russia, all these companies.
Well, good, I'll go.
There was a Russian Orthodox priest that said, you know, this is wonderful. people aren't going to be eating unhealthy food. The Pornhub is gone, and, you know, so they're not going to be perverting our children with these weird ideas and things. And so Russia might actually be if a nicer place to live in a few years because, you know, they're going to get – there's a lot of area out there that's still very unpolluted and pure, although there are some spots that are really bad. But, you know, it's large enough where – And without the influence of all these Western companies that, you know, we tend to have this bias like, oh, the West is a good, you know, like the Iron Curtain, the Soviets, the commies, they were always bad, except during World War II when we find the Nazis. But then they got bad and everything. And then the West was the free world, and the United States went around and, you know, liberating all these countries and spreading democracy. But now we're starting to see that whole spreading democracy, liberation had connotations of another sort. A lot of times there was a big oil company that wanted to go in and make a pipeline or, you know, something like that. And so our excuses, the West being the great liberators of freedom and always the good guys, that's what we've been brought up to believe. But now we're starting to realize that maybe we've been not exactly told the truth about that in every time. I mean, it's not like we're the bad guys 100%. But we certainly have been going into a lot of countries more than some other folks.
The politics and the reasoning behind it is so wrong. They have our National Guard.
And also our government abuses its own citizens. Look what they're doing to us. Go ahead.
That pisses me off that our National Guard, who's supposed to be here protecting our borders, are in some other country doing God knows whatever. I mean, can you imagine the poor soldiers that have to wear all this EMF equipment that is getting bombarded from the sky and from all these other, electrical machinery to wear on? The helmet must wear so much. And, oh, look at all this neat eyesight and technology. Well, it's actually damaging the human being and transhumanizing them.
You know, that happened to cops. A lot of cops got cancer.
Right.
They were using these radar.
More crazy, like they were getting saltpeter or something, because most of them are supposedly trained in Israel.
A bunch of people at Area 51 got like this weird disease,
And then Cuba too. Remember, Cuba had it happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, the ones at Area 51 at Groom Lake, they sued. And they took, they went to court and all that, and then it was like they, nothing could happen because everything was classified. There was no evidence. They're like, well, you know, it's top secret. We can't show you. Oh, well, there's no evidence. The argument got released or, removed from the court, basically. And these people are SOL.
On the computer can be found out. There is really, I know a bunch of good-hearted, intelligent hackers out there that have been not doing their duty and due diligence to help avoid all these issues, okay?
All we need to do is get those patents out. You know, you don't need to destroy anything. You don't need to hack into, like, government computers and do damage. All we need to do is get the information of the patents.
Well, the White House used to tell you all this stuff. They were happy to give it out. Remember, they would have it on TV. You know, that you could actually see it. Now with this COVID stuff, you can't just even go into any kind of committee meeting anymore because you, for one thing, they think we're terrorists. But this COVID said, oh, you got to say, yeah, 6 feet away. I mean, they aren't even allowing us to get up and then tell them, look, we see it. We've had enough. Because everything is effed up. The schools, poor school. I mean, I am so thankful.
Schools need to shut down. I'm at the point where I think we just need to shut public school down, period. And then let everybody just, you know what? I mean, our country, our kids are so dumb because of public school anyway.
Then you better have a good.
That it'd be better to just have them not go to school and learn from their parents. And
no, because the parents are assholes. Their heads are buried in the sand. See, okay. I was one of those
parents. Maybe that's a little extreme. Maybe we need to decentralize the school systems so that there's not a centralized system telling every school, like in the district, you have to do this. We need to just have every school different. How about that?
No, I don't want anybody else in charge of my children.
Well, that's what I mean. Get rid of the school.
I had my own business so I could be part of the school. I saw everything that went on. And they didn't like me during PTA meetings and stuff because I could see what was going on.
Well, that's why we should just get rid of the schools and maybe have some neighborhood things or something.
Well, I think that is perfect. Get everybody involved. You can't raise a child without a village. Okay, we'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreessen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Alright, let's show them what we got now.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie,
Mona Radler.
FreedomSlips.com, Revolution.Rido. Today is the 15th day of March, 2022. We are listener supported and we thank all of you. We have a new show opposite this show today. Where the heck did it go? Feather Ray. So, it's called Love Something. What is it? Where is it? I'm reading chat. So we're still going, people, so don't not hesitate to check out the new people. And, hey, we got the archives, so you can check out the old people later if you
Mona,
want.
Mona, I got a contractor coming up my driveway, so I'm going to have to drop.
That's fine by me. Thank you.
Okay.
So that I'll really was great. To talk.
All right. Have a great show. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, honey. Thanks. Really, that was cool. I needed that. Now, you're not going to hang up on me, right? You're just going to leave? Because he had to bring me on because it wasn't working for me. But that's okay. So let's see what I was looking for. Because now, that takes away the one. Well, let's finish this before I go anywhere else. All right. Because I will have to do it. Here we go. It's giving me a word, two words. Okay. Yay, 41 points. Okay, where'd it go? And... is this it? No, that's not it. I had a, what do you call it? Come on, you can come on. You can switch to there. Well, I don't know. Will it work? Is this... No, it won't work. It's not giving me a scroll. But for some reason, it's not going to click to there, so I cannot find that there. It's watching. What? What? What happened there? Well, I guess I could play this. Let's see. At least then I could get it out of my way. And it's only 2 minutes long, so let's see. I can set this all up like it could be doable. All right, let's see.
The current situation is this. If you have COVID and you end up in the hospital, you're put on a rigid protocol, and there's high mortality rate in the hospital, and your family is kept in the dark as to what's happening. So what's going on here? Number one, the CARES Act is providing bonus payments to hospitals whenever you have a diagnosis of COVID. And then number two, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services is waiving patient rights. This is a deadly combination. So here's what happens. You get a payment because you offer a free COVID test in the emergency room. You get a boost payment if you have a diagnosis of COVID. Number three, you get another bonus payment if you are admitted with COVID. Number four, you get another bonus payment if you're put on remdesivir. Number five, another bonus payment if you're put on a mechanical ventilator. Number six, another 20% bonus if the diagnosis on your death certificate says COVID, even though you may not have died from COVID. And then number seven, there's bonus payments to coroners. Do you understand the gravity of what's happening right now? The Biden administration is literally paying hospitals to kill you. That's what's happening. This is terrible. We need to stop that. These are real human lives we're talking about. They're priceless.
So are they great?
It's estimated at about $100,000 per patient is what the hospital's getting. Think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, the real news of right now continues. On the next.
Doctor.
The current situation is this. If you have COVID and you end up in the hospital, you're put on a rigid protocol, and there's high mortality rate in the hospital, and your family is getting. Think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, the real news of right now continues on the next.
Okay. Doctor.
The current situation is this. If you have COVID and you end up in the hospital, you're put on a rigid protocol.
Yeah, I've told everybody, anything ever happens to me, don't even take note. I haven't needed one since forever, so it would be some other kind of act of something that, you know. Okay, so what is this one? Well, I don't blame you, Gary Kelly, but let's see what this one is. All right, you're checking out a Pfizer building. And what, you're going to have cops coming down behind you? What? Wait a minute, let's see. They're just driving past
here at Pfizer in Collinsville.
Okay.
And the whole complex is totally empty. Interesting.
Is it on a Saturday or a Sunday, or is that a new building?
Darn house. Empty.
Huh. That's interesting. Oh, that's funny. You're a little too old to be Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drew.
Chemtrails in the sky. Oh, such a beautiful sky. So this woman's driving around. Yeah, but there's no movement. There's not even a bird in the field. Or a tree that I can see.
Crazy.
It is. It's like it's...
I saw two people in the Dow parking lot and asked them when Pfizer closed. They said, oh, they're not closed. They're just not here because of COVID. That's the story, I guess, huh?
Well, that's actually kind of funny, isn't it? I wonder when this was
here at Pfizer in Collegeville.
I mean, you know how they've been. That just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, seriously. Okay. Oh, I came here because I wanted to look to see about... If I put that video I wanted to play that has only, you know, its length of time is what I have to be concerned with. So, let's see. Okay, so there's that. And this is this. So, maybe this has been the problem all along.
Was written and narrated by Academy of Ideas. Check out their YouTube channel for more of their videos. Our age has been called many things, but an age of cowards may best describe it, given the immense fear, anxiety, and helplessness that most people display in the face of even trivial threats. We are not a generation that moves forward into the uncertain future in a bold and heroic manner. Instead, most people fear the future and prefer safety, comfort, and ease of life to risk-taking, experimentation, and freedom. Or as the 21st century sociologist Frank Furedi writes, young people are socialized to feel fragile and overawed by uncertainty, and as a result, the defining feature of the current Western 21st century version of personhood is its vulnerability. Although society still upholds the ideal of self-determination and autonomy, the values associated with them are increasingly overridden by a message that stresses the quality of human weakness. And if vulnerability is, indeed, the defining feature of the human condition, it follows that being fearful is the normal state. Overawed by uncertainty, fearing the future, conceptualizing oneself as vulnerable, weak, and fragile, is not a recipe for individual or social flourishing. Rather, this way of life promotes mental illness and paves the way for authoritarian rule. And so, as we will explore in this video, the world would benefit if more people were willing to live just a little more dangerously. For danger, when a byproduct of pursuing worthwhile goals or in defense of values like freedom, justice, or peace, is life-promoting, and as the Roman historian Tacitus put it, the desire for safety stands against every great and noble enterprise. Not all societies, however, have ranked safety as high on the scale of values as does the modern West. Many flourishing societies of the past considered safety to be a secondary value, and showed a remarkable capacity to take risks in the face of an uncertain future, and to display courage and bravery in the presence of danger. Historically, some of the most prosperous societies, ancient Athens, Renaissance Italy, 19th century Britain, were among those that were most oriented towards experimentation and the taking of risks. In taking the opposite approach and in showing a strong preference for safety over risk-taking, the unfolding of the human potential is not actualized, but stunted. For to develop on an individual level and to advance as a species, exploration of the unknown and experimentation with novel ways of interacting with the world is a necessity, and this entails taking risks and confronting danger. but such is a price that must be paid, as the alternative is to stagnate in the confines of an ever-shrinking comfort zone, to regress in body and mind, and to fall victim to anxiety disorders, depression, or other diseases of despair. A further flaw with an approach to the future that strongly favors the safe road is that it creates fertile ground for tyrannical or even totalitarian rule. For as Alexander Hamilton famously stated, to be more safe, they, at length, become willing to run the risk of being less free. When a society elevates safety to the position of a first-order value, freedom is by necessity demoted to the position of a second-order value, which can be trampled on by those in power who, throughout history, have disguised tyrannical intentions with claims of wanting to make a society safer. What makes matters worse is if a society socializes people to be fearful of the future and overawed by uncertainty, the masses will welcome or openly call for authority figures to protect them, or as Faraday notes, relieving people of the burden of freedom in order to make them feel safe is a recurring theme in the history of authoritarianism. Given that a society which deifies safety is also a society ripe for tyranny, it is up to those who favor freedom to take a more heroic approach to life. For when the menacing clouds of authoritarian rule darken the horizon, unless more people are willing to take risks and face danger in the service of values such as freedom, justice, peace, and social cooperation, the grip of tyrants will only solidify, or as John Stuart Mill put it, a man who has nothing which he is willing to fight for, nothing which he cares more about than he does about his personal safety, is a miserable creature who has no chance of being free, unless made and kept so by the exertions of better men than himself. As role models for the task of living more heroically, we can look to the ancient Greeks, a civilization that rightly held safety to be a secondary, not primary value, and which saw risk-taking in facing danger as morally commendable. Danger, wrote Albert Camus, makes men classical, and all greatness, after all, is rooted in risk. Friedrich Nietzsche was also a proponent of this classical approach to life, and he praised Pericles, the Athenian leader who in his famous funeral speech celebrated the Athenians' indifference and contempt for safety, body, and life. Contrast this to the modern world, where, to paraphrase the author Christopher Cocker, we tend to deprive the bold risk-takers who spur safety of the fullness of their lives in order to support the smallness of our own. Fortunately, we don't need to wait around for politicians to pass legislation to approve of a bolder approach to life. We just need to live in this manner. We need to look at the uncertain future not merely as a source of threats, but also of hope and opportunity. And we need to see risk-taking as justified when in defense of cherished values or in the pursuit of worthwhile goals. By demoting safety to its rightful place as a secondary value, we will cease living as a helpless pawn who must be coddled from youth to old age by an authority figure, and we will regain the ability to shape the course of our life. We will mature psychologically and become better equipped to cope with whatever the future brings, for as Nietzsche explains, danger alone acquaints us with our own resources, our virtues, our armor and weapons, our spirit, and forces us to be strong. First principle, one must need to be strong, otherwise one will never become strong. While taking greater risks and flirting with danger can shorten one's life, it is helpful to remember that a long life is not necessarily a good life. A safe life, lacking real challenges and absent in adventure, is inert and leads to a withering away of body and mind into staleness, repetition, boredom, and stagnation. Such is not living, it is mere existing, or as the Roman Stoic Seneca put it, there is no reason for you to think that any man has lived long because he has gray hairs or wrinkles. He has not lived long, he has existed long. In addition to helping one live more fully, a courageous willingness to take risks and to flirt with danger can turn us into a great benefactor of mankind. For so long as the values that guide us and the goals we pursue are noble and life-promoting, courage reveals a caring attitude for the well-being of others. For unlike the coward who is concerned primarily for his or her own safety, and who demands everyone else conform to his or her neurotic ways. The hero is willing to risk life and limb in the service of values that move society forward. Or as Alistair MacIntyre wrote in After Virtue, A Study in Moral Theory. If someone says that he cares for some individual, community, or cause, but is unwilling to risk harm or danger on his, her, or its behalf, he puts into question the genuineness of his care and concern. Courage, the capacity to risk harm or danger to oneself, has its role in human life because of this connection with care and concern. If, therefore, we desire a fulfilling life, care for our mental health, and care for the future of our society, we need to act with courage and not worship at the altar of safety. We need to take risks in the service of life-promoting values and not adhere to the view that a good life is a safe life. For believe me, wrote Nietzsche, the secret for harvesting from existence the greatest fruitfulness and the greatest enjoyment is to live dangerously. Build your cities on the slopes of Vesuvius. Send your ships into uncharted seas. Soon the age will be past when you could be content to live hidden in forests like shy deer. For more content like this, visit the YouTube channel Academy of Ideas or the website academyofideas.com.
Oh, gee, that was a little off-key, at least in my mind. Whoops. Where'd that go? Put that back. Where'd that go? No, I didn't want that.
When you could be content to live hidden in forests like shy deer.
Okay.
For more content like...
I mean, depending on... There's not that many minutes, actually. So I'll have to wait and see. Can I talk for 5 minutes? I don't know, man. Oh, my gosh. Such expectations. For some talk radio. You've already bothered me once, Cat. Twice, three times, four times, and you just keep bothering me. Well, what? Well, where'd you go now? You getting into something you shouldn't be getting into? Where'd you go? Oh. No, I'm just gonna come and say hi and leave again. Okay. But, oh, what a day, huh? I hope people are doing well. And, yes, I do know that there is a regimented program proceeding around us that this has all been not just programmed, because the children in that believe this is how it's supposed to be. Well, no, it's not. That's why as people who have a little bit more intelligence to see and know better the difference have a, what you call it, you know? I'm sure I've had it for, I used to go up in front of city council meetings all the time telling them they shouldn't be doing what the heck they're doing. I didn't realize it was going to cause trouble. I was just out there trying to make sure. Why are you putting the fluoride in the water? And I had information and told them, try to tell society. But that was way back in, oh my gosh, 82, 87. Yeah. Fighting. And this was before any other kind of computer information came out about all the damages and dangers of fluoride. But I had doctors, pharmacists, and scientists that backed me and helped me with getting more information about it. And coming to find out there's an organic fluoride that is in the food and the air and the soil, but it's not this fluoride that, you know, the rat poisoning. that I guess some people believe they used it in the Jewish Nazi concentration camps. Now, see, I met a woman that was a little girl there. And she wore all kinds of inches of bracelets because of the tattoo number she had on her wrist from there. Okay, we used to get so stoned together. She was a beautiful woman. She really was. She wasn't my age. She's probably double my age. But her and her Israeli husband, yeah, he had a head shop in bongs, paper, everything else like that. Yeah, but that was in the, oh my gosh. Yeah, probably early 90. Because I did a flea market for like 17 years. That's how I made my business and my money. Because I was going to be there for my children. Because my children deserve to have some kind of common sense and person critically thinking to give them incentive about what goes on in life. Yeah. I didn't see too many other people like that, but if I did see somebody who was willing to try, I mean, I would only hire people that were incentive enough to listen. I mean, that was first and foremost, they would listen. And sure, bring your child. You know, if we had days off, because my children went to public schools, and I feel real bad about it now, because when I was teaching elementary school in 77, 78, I saw what was going on, and I didn't like it then. But, you know, hey, you have children, you have more than one, you know, you think, because you got your education to be a teacher, that you should be teaching. But then for what they were telling us, we had to check off our list. Like the education we got was worthless. You know, all those years of education didn't matter. No, it was worthless. Because their programming was going to be something completely different and from where we are now.
We'll be right back after this message.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Oh, pardon me. You know the 360 thing. See, there it goes. Goodness gracious. Sakes alive.
I've spent much of my working life exploring the controversial possibility of a forgotten episode in human prehistory, an advanced civilization of the Ice Age, as yet unrecognized by archaeologists, that collapsed and failed utterly during a global cataclysm some 12,000 years ago. I've often wondered what it must have felt like to be amongst the last citizens of that lost civilization with no choice, as chaos and darkness descended, but to stand by and watch as everything they'd created, their great prosperity, their cunning inventions, their hope for the future, and so much more, was reduced remorselessly to nothing. But now, looking around the world today, it occurs to me that we already know what it feels like. For what are we ourselves if not the citizens of an advanced civilization on the brink of collapse?
Right.
Let that collapse come in a year, a decade, or a century. let it be driven by forces of nature or by human folly or by both, the end result will be the same. When enough millennia have passed and our descendants have invented civilization again after our fall into barbarism, I suspect they will look back on us with much the same ribald skepticism that we've been taught to view Atlantis. We will have become just a myth, just a story, mere pseudoscience, and certainly not true history. Several hundred myths concerning a global cataclysm and the loss of an advanced prehistoric civilization have come down to us from the remote past and from all parts of the world. These myths are eerily consistent on many points, and on one in particular. The cataclysm was not a random accident, we're told. We brought it upon ourselves by our own behavior. This may seem a nonsensical claim to those committed to the philosophy of scientific materialism, who see no cause and effect here, merely projection and fantasy on the part of the mythmakers. In summary, however, whether we react with scorn or choose to pay attention, the shared message of the myths is that our arrogance and our cruelty towards one another, our noise and strife, and the wickedness of our hearts angered the gods. We ceased to nurture spirit. We ceased to love and tend the earth and no longer regarded the universe with reverent awe and wonder.
Right.
Dazzled by our own success, we forgot how to carry our prosperity with moderation. So it was, Plato tells us, with the once generous and good citizens of the lost civilization of Atlantis, who in former times possessed a certain greatness of mind and treated the vagaries of fortune and one another with wisdom and forbearance, but who became swollen with overweening pride in their own achievements and fell into crass materialism, greed, and violence. To the perceptive eye, the depth of their degeneration was clear enough, Plato writes. But to those whose judgment of true happiness is defective, they seemed, in their pursuit of unbridled ambition and power, to be at the height of their fame and fortune. If ever a society could be said to meet all the mythological criteria of the next lost civilization, a society that ticks all the boxes, is it not obvious that it is our own? Our pollution and neglect of the majestic garden of the earth, our rape of its resources, our abuse of the oceans and the rainforests, our fear, hatred, and suspicion of one another, multiplied by 100 bitter regional and sectarian conflicts, our consistent track record of standing by and doing nothing while millions suffer, our ignorant, narrow-minded focus on skin color and other trivial physical differences, our forgetfulness that we are all brothers and sisters, our exclusivist religions, our bellicose chauvinism, the dreadful cruelties that we indulge in the name of nation or faith or simple greed, our obsessive, competitive, ego-driven production and consumption of material goods, and the growing conviction of many, fueled by the triumphs of materialist science, that matter is all there is, that there's no such thing as spirit, and that we are just accidents of chemistry and biology. All these things, and many more, in mythological terms at least, do not look good for us. Much as we may disbelieve in their gods, perhaps the time has come for us to listen to the broader message of the ancients. Perhaps the time has come to damp down our pride, douse the fires of our hatred with love, summon the courage to replace cruelty with kindness, embrace our shared humanity, stand once again in awe of the universe, and show gratitude for every gift that Mother Earth provides.
Right.
Otherwise, who knows? Perhaps ours will be the next lost civilization.
Oh, how scary is that?
If you live in one of the great technological cities of the modern world, you almost never see the stars. Light pollution cuts out the sky, severs our connection with the universe. But if you look down from a NASA satellite, you can see here, for example, Northern Europe lit up like a golden string of jewels. But down here is the Sahara Desert, inhabited by hunter-gatherers. It's completely dark because there's no electricity there. And the Namibian Desert, again inhabited by hunter-gatherers, are completely dark because there's no electricity there. This is often taken as a symbol of the technical advancement of the industrialized societies. But let's think about that a little bit. the West, and there's North America, lit up like a string of jewels. But there's the Amazon jungle, completely dark because there's so little electricity there. And actually in the state of Acre, in the southwestern Amazon, where those geoglyphs have recently been found due to clearances, there are still tribes who remain uncontacted by our civilization. They don't even know we exist. Goodness knows what they think when they see a helicopter circling overhead, taking photographs of them. They never knew about our culture before, and suddenly there's these strange beings in flying machines overhead. But we have to ask ourselves, who would survive if something like the Younger Dryas cataclysm were to happen again in our day? If those cosmic impacts were to strike the 21st century world, who would survive it? I do not believe that it would be the inhabitants of the advanced industrialized civilizations. We are the spoilt children of the earth. We are used to having everything at our fingertips. The supermarket shelves stuffed to overflowing with food. Roofs over our heads. Clothes on our backs. We can go anywhere in the world we like. We consider ourselves to be the masters of the universe. But you stop that food supply into the cities, and it's a just-in-time food supply right now. There's only 2 or 3 days food supply in any city. You stop that food supply into the cities, and I would suggest within a matter of weeks, our much-vaunted civilization would begin to fall apart. The psychological trauma would be massive. People would not be prepared for it in any way, and very few of us, there are exceptions, but very few of us know anything about survival at all.
Right.
Because we depend entirely on a complex interrelated network of skills. Who would survive? Who would survive? Would be the hunter-gatherers in the Namibian deserts, in the Amazon rainforest, because they're in the business of survival. That's what they do every day. They are absolute masters of survival. They would weather such an incident with very little damage, and it would be they and their descendants who would carry forward the human story. And I like to imagine how it might be told 12,000 years from now, how there might be a myth that the archaeologists of that time would dismiss as complete nonsense. How it was, there was a myth that told of a time when there was an advanced civilization on this planet. They were so advanced, they were almost gods. They had supernatural powers. You know, they could look at a little device and speak to one another, even see one another on opposite sides of the planet. They could fly around the earth. They could send people to the moon. But they became corrupt. They became cruel. They became conceited and big-headed. They ceased to wear their prosperity with moderation. They imposed their powers on other less powerful people around the world. And the universe wouldn't put up with that. The universe struck them down. It's our choice. Let's make sure we're not the next lost civilization.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of After School. In my view, this channel is doing an important job, offering a new and engaging way to explore complex and challenging ideas. Check out the other offerings here. You won't be disappointed.
According to mainstream history, the human story...
I'll have to take that for tomorrow, maybe. It's too dang long. I can't do it. It's not simple. Okay. It's just not simple. Okay. There it goes. Oh my gosh. It's just... There we go. It's just... I got this. Yeah, I had all these videos picked out, and that was so nice of Mr. Rowe to join me. I haven't had a great conversation with him in quite some time, even though we were on the round table Sunday. We had a lot of good people like Solaris and Lady Horse and Willow and 808 and Nick. We had a whole bunch of great people there. So that was cool. Yeah. All right. Yes, I love this station. Don't forget, people, we are listener supported, okay? Yes. Ooh, magic mushrooms. Oh, see, I can't even talk to you about that because it's on for 34 minutes long. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, a lot of these are that long. So it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, but I don't think there's going to be any short ones in here. I guess I'll just have to go to the doohickey. Uh-huh. Nope. Pardon me, I keep doing it, and I don't mean to do it. All right. Let's see what, let's see. Four false beliefs. How many? Oh, I can only do this one and hopefully.
There has been some kind of a universal system at use in the ancient world. And these various cultural groups, whether it was the Egyptians or Sumerians or Mayans or the Hopewellians or the megalithic builders, had access to some universal system from some source that was outside their own cultural context. And I suggest that the source of that goes back into deep time that takes us back beyond the threshold of known history into the realm of mythical history, which means we're going back like into the Ice Age, back into the Pleistocene, to use the geologist term, back into the deep recesses of the human tenure on planet Earth, whose only memory has come down to us, not in the form of recorded history, but in the form of myth and epic story and legend and so forth. Because as it turns out, if we, and this is again is a good topic for the sacred geometry class, when we analyze Plato's description of Atlantis, Plato basically gave the date of the sinking of Atlantis as 9,000 years prior to Solon, the Athenian poet and statesman. Solon did a 10-year exile in Egypt, and it was Solon that brought back the tale of Atlantis and presented it to the Greeks. And Solon basically made that journey around 600 BC. So if you add the 9,000 years to the 600 BC, we come up with a date of about 11,600 years ago for Plato's date for the demise of Atlantis. Well, it's very interesting that the date 11,600 years has been independently discovered by geologists looking at the tempo of various catastrophes that have occurred on Earth. And to those catastrophes is where I'm now going to turn. Catastrophes in the time of man, the tempo of global change. What I've done here is I put a time bar that goes from the present right here. This is us now. This is today. Right here is May 3rd at 4 o'clock. Is it 4 o'clock? That's right here. And this is 150,000 years ago. And the reason I used 150,000 years is that some of the earliest skeletal remains ever discovered of modern humans date back to 150 to even to 180,000 years. Skeletons that appear to be indistinguishable from a modern skeleton, which suggests that modern humans with presumably equivalent intelligence to our own were present on the planet at least this far back. So here we've got a 150,000-year time span. You'll notice this little red bar at the end. That red bar represents the span of recorded history, which is basically the advent of Sumerian cuneiform writing. So if it turns out that there were modern humans living through this whole span of time, why is there no history? Well, now you got to do is turn to these various things that I've put on here. These are events that have occurred. And I used a certain criteria for these events. And here's the criteria I used. I began studying the record of geological change, climate change, environmental change, and I focused on events that could be considered catastrophic. And catastrophic to the extent that were an event of an equivalent magnitude to occur now, it would basically end civilization as we know it. That's the criteria I use. What would be the magnitude of an event that it would take to terminate our modern industrial civilization? That's the criteria that I used. Then I began to search through the record of all of the events that would be of that magnitude or greater. And the events that I found so far have been entered onto this graph, and they're listed all here. You can see them. And how many do we have here? And this is not complete necessarily, but we have at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 of them in 150,000 years. So at least 16 times in the last 150,000 years, there have been climate or environmental or geological catastrophes powerful enough that were they to occur today would essentially put us back into the Stone Age. Would essentially, if you think about some of the small catastrophes we have seen in the last few years, from the destruction of New Orleans to the great tsunami, you know, to some of the big earthquakes that we've seen, you know, New Orleans is still not recovered. But you've got to imagine what would happen if an event that was one order of magnitude greater than Katrina happened. By that I mean 10 times worse. Let's say that we had 10 cities decimated to the extent of New Orleans. We could certainly recover from that, but it would be a major effort to do so. Now what if we were talking about two orders of magnitude? Let's say, to put it into a rough equivalency, an event that could cause the decimation of 100 major urban areas. Could we recover from that? Questionable. Now let's go three orders of magnitude. And now we're talking about the equivalent of 1,000 major cities completely decimated. Okay, at that level, three orders of magnitude, that's what these are. Those are events that essentially would be three orders of magnitude. Once you begin to ponder this, it becomes apparent why there isn't a record, an extant record of what's been going on for the whole time that we humans have been here. Now, at this point, you probably haven't tied this in with what we've been saying before, other than I'll point out a few things to you that should be. Onset of the late Wisconsin Ice Age, 26,000 years before present. Remember the great year and the processional cycle? Add about 80 years to that, and we've got 26,000. Of course, 26,000, you could figure plus or minus a few centuries. Now, you come through that cosmic clock that I showed you, right? Halfway to the cusp of the age of Leo, 12,900 years ago, roughly. And what happened? We have something that happened. 12,900 years before present, onset of the Younger Dryas climate catastrophe, first phase of the megafaunal extinctions. Now here what I've done is I've entered some green dots. Now look at what the green dots are. The green dots are basically derived directly from the model of the Great Year, based upon cycles of 6,480, 12,960, and then 25,920. And you'll notice how high of a correlation there is between the tempo of events, the actual events that have been derived by scientists without any reference to this great year model at all, and the timing of these ages of the world. Remember the 6,480 years, that was the bull, the lion, the eagle, and the man. And according to the traditions, each of those seasons of the great year is inaugurated by some type of a great event, a transformative event, a catastrophe, if you will. And what I've done here is I have developed a data set that shows the correlation. It certainly seems from a study of this graph that these intervals, these event nodes as I call them, the susceptibility of something happening goes up exponentially for a short period of time. Here's the analogy that I have used. You're out driving along a quiet country road. You've got it on, you know, cruise control. You're kicking back. You're listening to some tunes. You're not paying much attention. You know, you're talking on your cell phone. Not much traffic. Okay, now you come up to a major highway. Your cars are like this. Well, you're crossing that intersection, and while you're crossing that intersection, now suddenly you got to put your cell phone down and start paying attention, because if you don't, you're going to get T-boned, right?
Yep.
Well, obviously, you've got your whole journey, and each time you cross an intersection of a major highway, you know, the potential of a catastrophe increases considerably,
right,
over what it would be while you're out there on the lonely country road. Well, you see, our planet is on a cosmic highway around the galaxy. And we're now beginning to understand the fine structure of the galaxy, and we realize that there is a pattern and an order to it. And there's a tempo of these orbital revolutions. There's a tempo of the galaxy. And there's a wave pattern of the Earth moving up and down, above and below the galactic plane. And within that, there are suborbital cycles as well. And we also discover that there seems to be a tempo in the delivery of cosmic matter to the inner solar system. It doesn't seem to be random. And this is going to be beyond the scope of today's lecture. But what I'm getting at here is that the evidence now supports the conclusion that the delivery of cosmic material and energy, the energy pulses that would be affecting Earth
non-random,
they're on some kind of a cosmic...
Have a great Tuesday. Thanks again, Mr. Rowe.
Radio.
You're going back in?
Still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is right.